Bone-chilling greetings, everyone. The tunes are courtesy of the phenomenal Bobby Mackey, and I'm, of course, your host, Tessa Morrow.
Now today, it's a different place, all the same with a new face, with strange mysteries hanging in the air. People in their sane minds swear they see you today. Are you looking for the love they took away? Everyone knows that you couldn't buy the pain, so you took your life in the pouring rain.
Thanks for stopping by and making Paranormal Prowlers podcast part of your morning, day, night, graveyard shift, whenever you listen and wherever you are listening from on top of a mountain to the sandy shores of a beach, from tiny village to large city and everything in between, it's greatly appreciated.
Round of applause. This week's city shout out goes to...
And I just need to say something real quick before I jump into the cities. So I've been gone, just got back last night from California, okay? And I did not have my city jar. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm not where my city jar is. I'm like 3 hours away from there. So I asked my sister last night, can you please, please, please in the morning go to where my cities are and pick 6 out for me? And she said she would. And so here I am recording, come back later and edit in the cities. And so I look at my phone as I'm doing the city part to actually remind my sister later on, do a alarm clock to remind Casey later on. And I look and there the cities are. So these are cities that Casey picked for me. Perfect timing. Sorcerer. Zion, Illinois. Sun City, Arizona. Funny, I was just in Sun City West visiting my grandpa. Meadville, Pennsylvania. Harrisburg, North Carolina. Stevensville, Montana. And, no, I'm going to say this wrong, so sorry about this, Rødovre Municipality, Denmark. So, this past week, I have been in Poway celebrating the life of an amazing man. And whenever I'm somewhere, I try to do an episode regarding that state. So here we go, California, yay, here we go. Today I'm going to talk about 3 cemeteries. Calvary Cemetery coming up first. So Calvary Cemetery is located in Mission Hills and is San Diego's second oldest cemetery, being established in 1876 by Father Antonio Ubach. Now, while it may be one of the oldest in San Diego, it's definitely not one of the largest. In fact, it's only 10 acres. 5 was dedicated for Catholics, and the other half was for the Protestants. But it proved to be too close for comfort, you know? They despised one another. And the Protestants refused to use the land for their burials, and turned their dedicated section into a park area instead. In 1919, Holy Cross Cemetery opens, threatening Calvary Cemetery's very existence. Now, sadly, I hate to say this, this cemetery has experienced a hell of a lot of desecration, vandalism, and, yeah, let's face it, major disrespect. So much for resting in eternal peace. San Diego Ghost goes into more detail, and it's heartbreaking. Quote, an article in the San Diego Union was published in 1949 with the headline, Broken Monuments, Maimed Statues, Desecrate Sleeping City of Dead. This explained the rapid deterioration of the cemetery and how headstones have been broken and overturned. Rusted metal railings, which once protected burial plots of distinguished citizens, have now been twisted, torn away, and looted. Images from the article published in 1949 showed a wooden cross torn from its grave by vandals, solid granite headstones torn from their bases, and flung sprawling on graves. Stone monuments, which had developed a list because of the ground underneath settling, and an old grave in a sad state of dilapidation brought about by repeated prankish acts of desecration. Whoever the vandals were, they were persistent for a long time. unquote. Now, these days, if you try to find Calvary Cemetery, you'll be sort of confused as it's not really a cemetery anymore. I mean, it is, but it isn't. Now it's known as Pioneer Park. If you find Pioneer Park, you're in the right place, my friends. There is just so much more going on here at this location. Again, it kind of reminds me of Chessman Park in Denver, right? Where people were buried and now it's a park. And it's like, okay, what's going on here? I, again, quote SanDiegoGhost.com as they paint an eerie picture, and I'm absolutely loving it. Have you ever heard of Calvary Cemetery? An abandoned cemetery so beautiful you could host a wedding there? Would you let your children play on a playground that is built on a graveyard with no gravestones? Or picnic there if you knew the graves of old city leaders are still buried beneath the grass? Most San Diego residents aren't even aware that one of their favorite neighborhood parks is still a graveyard. Declared abandoned in 1968, Calvary Cemetery is one of San Diego's many historic cemeteries, but with a twisted past. Most abandoned cemeteries will have the caskets moved to better locations, but that is not true for Calvary Cemetery. At Calvary Cemetery, the ghosts there still seek restitution for what happened to their graves during the Great Depression. Unquote. With the headstones long gone, it's hard to say who was or who is still buried here. Long ago, two memorials were put there bearing names and a plaque that resides there with 1,800 names. If you go to the southeast corner of Pioneer Park, formerly known as Calvary Cemetery, of course, you will find old remaining headstones, a reminder of what once was. But secretly still is, as the bodies, well, yeah, they're still there. When it comes to some of the residents who call Calvary Cemetery / Pioneer Park their eternal home, HiddenSanDiego.com shares some more details about this. Quote, important families such as the Bandinis, who once owned the Cosmopolitan Hotel in Old Town, and Couts, who once owned the Rancho Guayoma Adobe, sorry, I know, were buried here as well as Roman Catholic Father Antonio Ubach. The Couts came to San Diego shortly after the Mexican-American War to help map the boundary between the United States and Mexico. He also laid out and named some of the streets in the area of San Diego that is today known as Old Town. Unquote. So I have to say, in my opinion, it is truly a crying shame what was done here. Why they had to have this area as a park is beyond me. California is pretty big. Like, I'm sure there were other options, other locations. To have the deceased remaining here and to be treated so disrespectfully, some may have been exhumed, yes, but many were left behind. It's like, if they were feeling the need to have a park right there, if you're gonna do something like that, do it 100%. Do it the right way. Don't half-ass it. Oh, I'm going to throw some of these headstones away and I'm going to leave some of the bodies here. It's like, no, come on. Respect the dead. We all have people who we love who are no longer here, right? We all experience the sad, heartbreaking loss of losing someone. Wouldn't you want them to be cared for? Kind of thing. The headstones that their families paid a lot of money for, taken to other cemeteries, or just thrown away. So many sites say one thing that is very similar when it comes to Calvary Cemetery, and that is that basically Calvary Cemetery is an example as how not to treat a cemetery. What not to do to a cemetery. These locations, these phenomenal burial locations, should be considered special sacred places and should be treated that way with the utmost respect, honor, and love. Now, Calvary Cemetery is believed to be rather haunted. Reports of balls of light have been seen floating about. Apparitions have also been seen here. Most known is that of a woman who wanders throughout the area in the evening time. Many people have experienced the all too spooky feeling of not being alone, or constantly, like, every move you make is being watched and judged, right? And even homes that are in close proximity to this former cemetery, now turned park, They have issues with electronics and lights that are constantly turning off and on, or just that really annoying flickering light, like you feel like you're about to have a freaking epileptic seizure. Yeah, annoying. Ghostsandgravestones.com go into detail about some of the hauntings. Quote, when experts have investigated, they've reported that their electromagnetic field readers go off the charts. One guest captured someone or something walking through the park on film, even though they saw nothing while taking the photo. Within the Mission Hills community, residents report strange occurrences like radios turning on in the middle of the night and flashes of light floating about in the park. If you're one who is the least bit curious about the existence of ghosts, a visit to Pioneer Park may just be what you're looking for, unquote. Next up on my California cemetery list is Rose Hill Historical Cemetery. Established in 1865, located in Pittsburgh, California. Now, unfortunately, Rose Hill and Calvary cemeteries, they have something in common. They both throughout the years had fallen victim to vandalism, courtesy of thugs who think it's okay to do such a pathetic and ridiculous and cowardly thing. And this burial ground is believed to be highly haunted and has a story attached to it. Amy's Crypt describes it just beautifully, and I love checking out Amy's Crypt. If you haven't heard of her, you should check her out. Just simply look up Amy's Crypt. This gal has quite the world traveler, been everywhere. It's utterly amazing. She writes this, although the cemetery is considered to be quite haunted, there is one ghost story which stands out from all the others. This is the story of Sarah Norton and how she became known as Rose Hill Cemetery's White Witch. Sarah was an illustrious woman, known throughout the local community for her work as a midwife and for being married to an important government agent. Sarah's life was tragically taken on October 1879. Sarah was a victim to a freak road accident, being thrown from her horse buggy by the animal towing her while traveling to meet with a patient. During life, it is said that Sarah, not being a religious person, had expressed her wish to be buried without a funeral. This was a wish those in town planned not to honor. After all, Sarah was a much respected pillar of the community. It is said that after Sarah's body was transported to the town's church, a funeral was arranged. However, an intense storm suddenly formed to foil these funeral plans. History was soon to repeat itself when the townsfolk attempted a second funeral. Yet again, another freak and destructive storm rolled through the area. Not wanting to tempt fate and taking these storms as some kind of divine intervention, Sarah was then buried in Rose Hill Cemetery without a funeral. Sarah's apparition is said to be the most commonly sighted ghost at the cemetery. She is typically described as a beautiful woman, gliding through the graves, clothed completely in white, and with a glowing aura surrounding her. These visions have spurred the creation of her many nicknames. These include the White Woman of Rose Hill Cemetery, White Witch, and the Glowing or Gliding Woman, unquote. CaliforniaHauntedHouses.com also discusses the hauntings of Rose Hill and talks a bit about the destruction that has taken place here via people. People have ran over graves and have stolen gravestones or knocked them off their bases. After being restored, headstones have been discovered and replaced in their proper spots. The grounds are said to be haunted by Sarah, the wife of town founder Noah Norton, and a midwife who was thrown from her buggy on the way to a birth. Her apparition has been spotted glowing as a floating female form, and some have given her the nickname the White Witch. Also seen at the cemetery is a phantom old school horse-drawn hearse. Other strange activity reported here includes floating crosses, bells, cries, laughter, 13 ghostly children, and wind noises when there is no wind.
cemetery song. That's where you reside.
And the final cemetery I want to talk about today is El Campo Santo Cemetery. It is one of the oldest cemeteries in Southern California, founded in 1849 and located in City of Industry, landing itself in a place on the National Register of Historic Places back in 1974. El Campo Santo means the holy field. Now, you know, this burial ground really caught my eye, and I was really hoping and praying to visit this cemetery while I was in Poway, but I unfortunately was just there for 2 days. One day was for the funeral, and the other day we were at the San Diego Zoo. And so it just, like, time did not exist for us when it came to going to the cemetery. You know, it's very beautifully maintained, at least based from the images that I saw online. There are many tall white crosses surrounded by small white picket fences. And I'm just so bummed out I couldn't make it this time around. It just looked so incredibly beautiful. Now, under 500 people rest here eternally. To be more specific, 477. A neat plaque can be found here, and it reads this, quote, "Protect the graves of your loved ones. Preserve from disarray God's vineyard, from which the angels will gather the great harvest into God's storehouse. Do not destroy the tombstones which were erected by loving hands. Do not disturb the peace and tranquility of those who have repose from earthly cares." So, isn't that, like, you know when you see something, like, I don't know, like, if you find a box of rat poison and it says, "Do not eat this." Or, I know somebody showed me a picture of a pizza in its carton, you know, like, you know, you open it up from Domino's or whatever, and it said, "Do not eat container." Like, obviously you think, well, something happened here where they had to do a sign. Like, did they get an angry phone call saying, "Hey, this container tasted like shit," or something like that? You know what I mean? It's kind of like, okay, what's going on here? You shouldn't have to put a sign up saying, "Hey, do not disturb the dead. Do not desecrate or do not destroy these cemeteries, these headstones. Do not murder thy spouse." It's like, okay, people, we just need to do better, right? I mean, and I know there's a lot of us who are like, okay, this is ridiculous. And then there's others like, but why? Why can't I do that? It's like, okay. Mm-mm-mm. So to me, again, it's really sad that something even has to be written out saying that. Something that should be common sense. Do not destroy the tombstones which were erected by loving hands. That should really honestly be a common sense thing, in my opinion. Like a little slap on the hand. No, don't do that. That's bad. So some of the people buried here are actually now under a road. A sign at the cemetery explains it better. Quote, "Remembering the more than 13 people, mostly children, who lie buried beneath Linwood Street. These graves were discovered with the use of ground-penetrating radar in 1993. Rest in peace." This plaque was placed by the Historical Shrine Foundation with funds from the San Diego Community Development Block Grant in 1994. One man buried here is James Robinson, better known as Yankee Jim. A man who became famous, or maybe infamous or notorious are better words, for stealing a rowboat. He was found guilty, and here's some Old West punishment for you. He is sentenced to be hanged by the neck until, yeah, he's no longer breathing. HMDB.com gives more info. Quote, "Yankee Jim suffered the extreme penalty for stealing the only rowboat in San Diego Bay. The verdict of the jury was as follows. Your jurors in the within case of James W. Robinson have the honor to return the verdict of guilty and do therefore sentence him, James Robinson, to be hanged by the neck until dead." Cave C. Couts, we heard about him in the first in Calvary Cemetery, foreman of the jury. The poor fellow could not believe that he was to be hanged until the very last moment. He appeared to think it all a grim joke, or at the worst, a serious effort to impress him with enormity of his evil ways. He was still talking when the deputy sheriff gave the signal. Then the cart was driven from beneath him, and he was left dangling in the air. Surely the punishment was far more wicked than the crime, yet the example must have proved effective in discouraging theft. Yankee Jim converted to the Roman Catholic Church prior to his death, thus his baptismal name, Santiago, Spanish for James. His godfather was Philip Crosthwaite, the deputy sheriff who gave the signal for the execution. Yikes, kind of a crazy twist at the end there. The man who sent him off to his doom, I know he was just doing his job, but still, it's family. That's crazy. Poor guy must have had a hard time sleeping. I know I would have. Now, the same article also talks about another man who is buried here who was also executed by hanging. Very interesting stuff. Quote, Bill Marshall was an American man married to the daughter of a local Indian chieftain. He was a renegade sailor from Providence, Rhode Island, who deserted from a whaling ship at San Diego in 1844. He had taken up habitation with the Indians. He took an active part in the Gara Indian Uprising in 1851. Bill Marshall and the Indian Juan Verdugo were caught and brought back to San Diego to be promptly tried by court-martial. Marshall was found guilty and thus sentenced to hang, as was Juan Verdugo. The Indian acknowledged his guilt, but Marshall insisted that he was innocent. At 2 o'clock in the afternoon, a scaffold was erected near the old Catholic cemetery, El Campo Santo, on the Thomas Whaley property. The men were put on a wagon and the ropes adjusted about their necks. The wagon moved on, leaving the two men to dangle to death. Unquote. So I mentioned Thomas Whaley just a second ago, owner of the very haunted Whaley House. A location worthy of its very own episode, and you will hear about that sometime in the future. And speaking of Whaley, ghostsandgravestones.com mentions the house and hauntings of El Campo Santo. Quote, El Campo Santo Cemetery is one such place, a seemingly peaceful burial ground where many of San Diego's deceased were laid to rest for all eternity. The cemetery, located in the Old Town San Diego Historic Park, was built in 1849 and was used until 1880. It's just a few blocks away from the city's most haunted building, the Whaley House. Founded as a Catholic cemetery today, only 477 of the original graves are still visible. It is said that the burial ground is only a fraction of what it used to be. All seemed to be well at El Campo Santo until the city began to grow and the needs of the living seemed to supersede the respect for the dead. So when the people in San Diego saw a need for more roads, several graves were removed and relocated. A horse-drawn streetcar line was constructed that ran right through the cemetery, and later, this same streetcar line became a modern road. Many graves were just paved over, leaving the souls of the dead trapped under the road. Residents and business owners in the surrounding areas of the cemetery have reported witnessing disturbing poltergeist events, inexplicable electrical outages, lights going on and off, and appliances and alarm systems going off for no reason at all. Could it be the spirits of those whose bodies were so grossly disrespected crying out? Many seem to think so. Visitors to the area have also been spooked by their car alarms going off or being unable to start their vehicle when they parked in the lot in front of the graveyard. Another sign that the souls of the dead, they're not happy. But perhaps the most telling indication that El Campo Santo Cemetery is haunted is the fact that several ghosts have been seen, including the ghost of Yankee Jim Robinson, who was hanged on the property of the Whaley House before it was constructed. Witnesses have recounted seeing other apparitions as well, some dressed in period costume, others that seem to glide above the graves, then disappear as they're approached. Freezing cold spots and floating orbs, flashes of light, and shadowy figures have also been reported here. Unquote. Now again, besides the Yankee Gem, other apparitions have been seen here that include a Native American man and then that of a woman in older clothing. Now sadly, it just seems that all three of these cemeteries have seen better days. I wish I could have gone to see them all. But again, time just went too quick. Someday, I will go back, and I will love to see them all at some point. May all of these souls rest in peace. And may these cemeteries, these precious cemeteries, be protected from vandalism and other negative energies.
And that concludes another fantastic podcast. Legend has it, if you don't tune in, I'll be returning to haunt you. So make sure to tune in for the next episode.
Did you enjoy this week's episode? Listen to the others, they're all awesome. Haven't heard every single one yet? Well, there's really no need to cry about it. You can binge listen to your heart's fright and delight by hitting up any of those podcast platforms, such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Cast, Podcast Republic, CastBox, Deezer. Basically, wherever you may roam to hear your other spooky podcasts, you'll probably find Paranormal Prowlers podcasts lurking in the background. Thanks, everyone, and I will
see you next week.